afternoon, everybody. My name is Guillermo Baigorria. I'm working at the University of Florida, and together with Professor James Jones, also from University of Florida, and Professor James O'Brien from University of Florida and the Center of Ocean Atmospheric Prediction Studies, we will present Coping with Uncertainty of Using Probabilistic Regional Circulation Model Forecast Ensemble in predicting simulated crop yields. My work in the consortium, the Southeast Climate Consortium, you already heard the presentation of Keith, is to apply existing and to develop a new methodologies for crop yield forecast. And among the different ideas we managed was the idea to use the numerical climate models output or forecast to feed crop models to predict crop yields. This is not a new idea. There are many researchers working with this 20 or 30 years ago for different scenarios of climate change, of climate variability. But what we are going to present here is not using a global circulation model, but using a regional circulation model, and not using the monthly forecast or Hank retrospective forecast, but using a regional circulation model of a resolution of 20 by 20 kilometers and using the daily data. The objective of this presentation is to quantify the improvement in skills when bias corrections were applied to daily hindcast of rainfall, maximum and minimum temperatures, and incoming solar radiation. These are the four variables that the crop model is using for the different realizations. And this is the connection between the climate and the crop models. As a second objective, to find and quantify the uncertainty originated for raw and bias-corrected FSU co-ops model hindcast used in a dynamic crop model. And third, to use principal component analysis to predict the interannual variability of simulated corn yields produced by using observed weather data with a daily seasonal climate hindcast made by a probabilistic regional circulation model in three locations of the United States. This is important because we are not using observed crop yields data. We are assuming that we have a perfect crop model and that we want to be focused in the uncertainty of the linking process, okay, between the climate model and the crop models. The data we use were 20 ensemble members of daily retrospective forecast or hindcast from the Florida State University Community Land Model Regional Spectrum Model co-ops from the period 87-2004 and the resolution 20 by 20 kilometers. The difference, one ensemble member, we refer to an ensemble member as a realization of the model, and the difference between the different ensemble members is only the initial and boundary conditions of the models, that's all. And secondly, we use a daily historical record of three weather stations from NOAA, a National Climate Data Center, and we use all the available historical record for the four variables. And it is important that we split this database from previous to 1987 and post 87. The first one, we have two independent set of data. The first one was for calibration and the second one for validation. So the first we did is we feed our observed data, weather data, and our hindcasted data for the model according to different statistical distributions. Gamma distribution for rainfall, beta distribution for incoming solar radiation, and a Gaussian distribution for maximum and minimum temperatures. And as you can see, we have the mean and the standard deviation for each month, and for the point are for the observed data. And this is the whisker plot, shows the variability of the hindcast, the raw hindcast from the model. In this case, for example, for March, the observed data climatology is around 10 degrees, while the forecast, the hindcast, sorry, is between, you know, 13 and 15 degrees. And the same happens for the mean variance, P and Q, and alpha and beta parameters for the different distributions. So as you can see, there is a lot of error between what is predicted versus the observed. In some cases, this is another county, we have a very nice forecast, so there is a lot of spatial variability and temporal variability of the predictability skills of the climate model. So what we made, because of this problem, we applied a bias correction, and we produced from that, using the 20 raw ensemble members, we produced 20 bias corrected ensemble members. So the bias correction we used was based on the cumulative probability distribution that has two steps. The first one is the frequency correction. This applied only for rainfall. And the second one, the amount correction, that is for all the parameters, all the meteorological variables. So what we use is the observer climatology cumulative probability distribution, this red one, okay, previous to 87. And we, for each month, no, and we did the same for the raw hindcast for each ensemble member individually. And what we did is we established a threshold, okay, using the observed climatology, where all the observations were 0 millimeters of precipitation. So what we did was to move the raw hindcast cumulative probability distribution to the left to fit the same amount, the same numbers of zero precipitation for both for the hindcast, model hindcast. Next, for the amount correction, we took this frequency corrected new cumulative probability distribution, and we took the specific data, for example, for January 1st, maximum temperature, you know, and we observed how much was the probability level, and we extrapolate this data to the one, to the curve, the cumulative probability distribution of the observed climatology. And from that same point, we observed the new value of minimum maximum temperature for this January 1st. So we did the same for all the variables and for all the parameters in all the hindcasts. Then all the hindcasts got the same characteristics of the climatology we got previous to 87. Also, we went further and we showed that we make analysis of a comparison of the dry spells length frequency for all the seasons. And as you can see, this is the raw data from the hindcast. And in here, you have overlap the observed climatology and the bias corrected. So also, the dry spell length frequency were well calibrated. So with our new excellent new corrected hindcasted data, we went to our model. And so we used the Ceres-Mace model from the DSAT family, and we produce from each ensemble member, we produce now a raw, an ensemble from a raw crop yield ensembles, 20, and 20 bias-corrected crop yield ensembles. We translate the forecast now in crop yields. And we did the same for the observed weather, and this is what we want to fit. We need to compare both of them. This is what we got as a result with our beautiful data set, corrected data set. So we have the observed, this is an average of 7 planting days, this black curve. And these spaghetti-like lines are the 7 planting date average. Each one belongs to one of the ensemble members. So as you can see, for the 3 places, there is absolutely nothing. So all the efforts we made was for nothing. There is known an apparent pattern, and the correlation, the Pearson correlation, was absolutely non-significance. So what happened? The correlation was perfect. We went further and to analyze the details, and we have here the observed data and each of the individual 20 ensemble members. We have here the period of water stress affecting growth, and this thin line shows the unstressed period, and the thick line shows the water stress. Here we have the yields and the rainfall for the respective observed and ensembles. And if you, for example, see the ensemble number 2, you will see that you have the higher amount of precipitation during the cropping season. However, if we go to the yields, these yields are in the lower than normal tertile of productivity compared with the other 20 ensembles. If we go to the ensemble number 6, for example, we have precipitation is in the lower than normal precipitation amount for the cropping season. However, the crop yield is in the upper than normal yields. So what happened is that these stresses, for example, in number 2, okay, just occur during tasseling, during flowering. Okay, and if we go to ensemble number six, still we have few lower precipitation than ensemble number 2. However, the stress is after tasseling. So it's important not only the frequency but also the timing when these dry spells occur. Okay, this is important, and this is something that by now the numerical models can solve. Okay, what will happen in 3-4 months, in the second week of October or November, exactly when this flowering or in a specific critical phenological period. So we have a lot of uncertainty and we can't solve the problem. So we made is apply with principal components now to aggregate the 20 ensemble members, always comparing the raw data with the bias corrected, and we produce principal components that are new, our new predictors based on the variability of these spaghetti-like gray lines we obtained later, previously. And we obtain the principal components from our raw data and for our bias-corrected data. And using the principal component regression and cross-validation, we finally measure the skill of our predictability. This is the years, okay, this is the 20 ensemble members individually, and this is the each column is the average for 7 planting dates. So from here, we produce the correlation matrix. This is the correlation matrix from the 20 by the 20 ensemble members. And we multiply this matrix for an orthonormal matrix, pre and post multiply. And the idea is that this new orthogonal matrix, the new columns, are the new predictors. And this is important that because we are based on the variability, the columns, the new columns, the new predictors are completely orthogonal among them. They are not correlated. So this is the what we got. These are the simulated grain yields observed weather. This is what we want to feed. And these are the new principal components that each of them are our new predictors. Okay. Here we have some results showing the principal components from 1 to 4 for the three places. And you can see the first principal component always, because of the characteristics of the principal component, extracted the higher variability, the PC1, principal component 2, the second highest variability, and so on. But this is not the same when we apply this concept to the predictant. Sometimes the first who explained the most of the predictability in the predictor is not exactly the one who predict more in our predictant. In this case, our simulated crop yields using weather data. However, in this case, a principal component number 3 started to be significant for the calf, and for teeth and for Alachua, we explained 13.7 and 28.8 of the variability of the crop yields in this simulated crop yields using weather data. So this is the result we got. We made a significant improvement in the predictability. This is our cross-validated data. All of them are significant at 0.05 probability level, and the root mean squared deviation were also improved. These are not perfect. There's still a lot of room to improvement by the crop models, by the bias correction, by the climate models, etc. However, this can be some way in order to summarize the results in, for predicting crop yields. As a conclusion, bias correction applied to cumulative probability functions improve the quality of daily and monthly handcast provided by this specific regional circulation model, and the dry spell length and frequency were also adequately corrected over the 18-year hindcasted period by this bias correction. However, the timing of rainfall events and dry spells within a growing season were not well simulated or corrected as anticipated. There was a large degree of variability among the crop yield ensemble members, and the difference in dry spells timing or distribution within the crop season were the main source of uncertainty when linking these crop and climate models. And finally, principal components applied to the Ceres maize model, maize simulated crop yield ensemble members, fed with this daily bias-corrected hindcast of this regional model, significantly improved the simulated grain yields using observed weather, statistically speaking, of course. Thanks.